Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the first Jaguars head coach show, the Gus Bradley Show of the season 2015. And Jeff Loggeman here, welcome in the head coach. Welcome, Gus. It's the first one.
Yeah, I know. If you don't have energy today,
you're kind of excited. Yeah. Yeah, and no. It's kind of different. You know, Ryan Robinson is not hovering. We got Tad Dickman in here.
I knew that wasn't going to take long.
I need to have Tad Dickman, who is now taking over for Ryan Robinson in the public relations department. I need to have him out in front of me so I can, you know, so I can read his body language, what I can and can't do. Do you think that would work for the Gus Bradley Show?
Maybe. He went right on it. How about that, Joe, huh? I mean, that's not a challenge or attack, is it? What's the difference?
We got to have a little bit of fun. Welcome back.
It's great, man, huh? I mean, you get a chance to be, you know, last couple, you know, what, 6-7 days being in the building, you know, and, you know, you can just sense it. A lot of the guys are excited, although we can't have many conversations with them. Just the number of guys that are in our building. I think, what, last year there was 13 or 14 that, you know, guys consistently working out. Doesn't mean anything, right? They can work out in California, wherever
right,
they're at.
Right.
But there is something to be said when you have over 25 guys consistently showing up. You know, I think as a coach, you feel good about the camaraderie.
Get a little feel that they're chomping at the bit, ready to
yeah,
go.
You yeah. You know, and it's been, we challenged them right after our last mini camp. You know, not to be here all the time, but to try to, at least a couple weeks, try to be here with your teammates. And our guys have really bought into it.
To explain to people how the schedule works. I mean, are the coaches back in? You say that you've been back at work this week. Are the coaches back in? When do they come back in if they're not? And what's the player schedule?
Well, we try to, you know, you give the coaches time off just because from July, you know, end of July through January, you know, the coaches, it's every day. So you try to give them a couple days or a couple weeks off after mini camp. But, you know, they're just like anybody else. They'll stop in the office here and there and you know, work on some projects. Or you try to get them out of here so they can spend time with their family. But you really can't have any contact with the players. It's not like you can bring them into your office and talk football.
But so, you can talk to them, right?
It's
I mean,
a
you
casual
can talk
greeting.
Fishing.
Yeah, well, it's supposed right? to be like a casual greeting. Okay. Hey, how you doing? And not too intense. So, you know, can't go down the weight room and see them or.
And the players, are they allowed to use the weight room?
They are, but, you know, as far as the coaching that takes place, it's very limited.
Right.
Just more safety.
And so the coaches, they all come in next week?
Yeah.
Okay, so the coaches all are back to work on Monday. The quarterbacks and rookies report Monday as well?
Yeah, we choose to bring them in. It's up to the team's option, but we chose to bring the quarterbacks and the rookies in a couple days early.
And then the rest of the team will report on Thursday.
Correct.
When the rookies and the quarterbacks come in on Monday, what are you allowed to do with them from Monday until the veterans report on Thursday?
Well, you know, the first day they'll do some testing, you know, and, you know, it's a conditioning test and see how they're coming back and ready to go. And you know, Milo will have some testing done for them. And then the next day we'll start our meetings, you know, have a little quarterback meeting, and then we'll get a chance to meet with the rookies. And, you know, just slow it down a little bit for them, review some of the things that took place in OTAs and minicamp, and, you know, get some questions answered and go through some drill tapes and maybe a little walkthrough here or there.
But you can't do, like, on-the-field practice.
No.
Okay, it's just walkthrough, casual, right. But yeah, you can meet. Is,
yeah,
there, is there time restrictions
It's up to the
also?
Coaches, but, you know, like last year we didn't go on the field much. It was mostly meeting time. And, you know, it's going to be up to Ole and the offense, you know, how much time they actually spend on the field.
Is it structured? I mean,
yeah,
like
very
a training
structured.
Camp would be?
Yeah, it's very structured. Quarterbacks will have a handout, you know, structured each day. But, again, it'll be Tuesday and Wednesday, and the players are back Thursday. So it's not like it's a 10-day intense session. But it does give them a head start. And
that has to be a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like I said, it's up to the teams. I don't know how many teams do it. We just chose to do it. We've done it. I think it's important. We're always looking for that edge. And, you know, I think especially when you have a team like we have, any extra meeting time, any time together is good.
Well, and especially, I mean, if you had Peyton Manning or Phillip Rivers or another veteran quarterback, you might say, well, what's the purpose of it? But you have a young quarterback who really has grasped the opportunity at improving at every chance that he could get.
Right, and you know, on top of it, a new offensive coordinator, some new offensive staff members. So anytime that they can connect and be around each other, it's a good thing.
And how important is it? Because I was on the other side of the ball. But how important is it for a quarterback to almost, and I don't want to, you know, have any kind of conflict here.
Sure.
As far as you never want a quarterback that oversteps his bounds trying to be a coach, but you want to have a quarterback that can coach on the field because he's the captain of the ship.
Well, I think the big thing, and I think the challenge for Blake, and I've talked to him about this, is to own the offense well enough, have a good enough relationship with Greg Olsen that he can challenge him. Say, hey, here's the plays I feel comfortable running. And sometimes when you're trying to please, you say, no, I can do it all. You know, anything you call, I can operate. And I think you want to have that relationship where Blake can say, here's what's important to me. Here's the things that I truly believe in. Because I think with Blake, especially, if he has a lot of faith in it, he will it to work. And I think that's what Greg Olsen needs to figure out with Blake as well, those plays that he really is convicted on.
And also the more time that Greg Olsen and Blake Bortles and Chad Haney, for that matter, Jeff Toole, whoever it is, the more comfort there is, personally, between those guys, the more time that they spend together because, hey, look, it's a long season now. They're going to be spending a lot of time together. The more time that they can probably spend in a relaxed atmosphere that's not pressure-packed with all the other distractions of all the other players is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a new staff. It takes that time where everybody's trying to get a feel for how everybody answers questions or how much you can challenge one another. And then the longer you're together, it kind of runs smooth. And I think that's what happens with, the quarterback and Nathaniel Hackett and all the quarterbacks in him and with Greg Olsen. And you've got to get to the point where they can challenge one another.
What was the last day of the mini camp? What was the date on that? Do you remember? June something or other.
19th or something like that.
Yeah, 19th, 20th, somewhere in that range. There's always that kind of that nervousness between that last day and now, where the players are on their own and maybe some of them might kind of get led astray or be leading astray, however you want to look at it. Justin Hunter, for example, the wide receiver of the Tennessee Titans, got into some trouble. All the players okay? Nobody got in trouble?
Well, you know what? We challenged them, and our players have been good. And, there's going to be – everybody's challenged with making decisions. But, one of our rules, protect the team. Make decisions that not only affect yourself but also represent our team. And over the course of the last couple of years, our guys have done a really, really good job. And you're always, kind of looking. But, like I said, we trust our guys. And if they make a decision that affects us, we'll deal with it. But so far, so good.
Well, and in that window, there's also a great opportunity for some of the injured guys to make progress. Send Derek Marks coming back from the ACL. Marquise Lee missed all of the offseason activities. Paul Posluszny was rehabbing, although he was back out on the field. Looked good. Status of those guys all positive leading into training camp?
Yeah, we'll find out more next week. But, I go back to the number of guys that are here, the over 20 guys. What a, if they have to have rehab taken care of, that means they have great faith in our training staff. And that's where the numbers, I think, show. And, even though they can't work hands-on with Milo and his staff, they can be there to watch them for safety. And just to see that numbers, I think, shows great trust and faith in our training staff and our strength staff. And that just, I think it all bodes well for us.
I know that you look forward more than anything to start a training camp to spending time with me right here with the Gus Bradley
That's
Show.
That's right.
Right? It's your number one thing.
I mean, there's other guys, too. Well,
JP's in here. Yeah. Of course, Tad and Joe.
Everybody, yeah. We're a team.
But besides that, what's the moment that you anticipate the most at the start of training camp? Is it the first team meeting? Is it the first practice? Is it having your coaches all back together, the band's back together, it's time to hit the tour bus now?
Yeah.
What is it?
You know what? I think, Monday's a good day. Monday's a good day, but there's nothing like going on that field for the first
time.
It is. And to see the guys in the locker room and be able to go in there and visit with them and see how they're doing and see the excitement on their face. But when you walk onto that field for the first time, I mean, right, Lugs? I mean, you could probably still feel it, the energy that comes with it. And
it's not as good as kickoff weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, but it's good.
It comes in bursts, right?
It's the smell of fresh cut grass and the smell of coffee in the air, you know, from the plant downtown, and the searing heat and the unbearable humidity. It's all that put together. You just love it.
No, I know. It is. You know, and the players, and just I think the anticipation of what's to come and the excitement that it brings. And, you know, it's just an exciting time.
All right, when we come back, I want to find out what you look forward to the least as the training camp opens up here at 2015. And we'll do that here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Join John Osher and J.P. Shadrick, who sits across the table from me right now, for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. They'll have special guests, keep you informed of the latest Jaguars news, and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. Back here with the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Gus Bradley. And Gus, the first practice is it's pretty special. You know, just walking out to the very first practice of training camp, and as a player, it's been a long time. But I remember looking forward to it with great anticipation and also a little anxiety because, you know, obviously training camp years ago was, I mean, it was strenuous. I mean, two-a-day practices, heat, and, you know, the wear and tear that your body goes through, it's a little bit different now. So it was great. And that was kind of the area that I was anticipating but then also hesitant on that first day. For you as a head coach, what do you like least about the start of training camp?
The start of training camp, you know, I think it's the training camp as a process. I think it's the managing the practices to, you know, challenge your players to tax them as hard as you can, but yet take care of them with injuries, you know, to come out of it, you know, each practice.
Finding a balance.
Yeah, finding that balance. I think that's probably the biggest challenge that, you know, you go through in your mind over and over again. You know, do we start practice at 9:55 or would 9:35 be better? You know,
20 minutes is that hard?
You know, but it's things like that. You know how coaches are, right? Yeah. We overanalyze. When we got some time off, it's like, okay, that means, you know, am I helping them? Would that help us? And you go through it all and you say, you know what, I'm convicted on what we're doing and let's roll. Mm-hmm. But I think you always analyze things to see how you can improve and help the team and to really max them out. So I don't know if there's anything that, you know, I go into it and I go, oh, you know, I'm really dreading this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there'd be something the matter with you if you felt that way.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, it's a passion. I mean, you love what you do. I mean,
right.
I've always said this, and that, you know, if you're doing what you love, it never feels like work.
Yeah.
You know, and you look forward to every moment and every experience that you can get from it.
I think that, you know, just saying you're going out in the field and you're seeing guys competing at the highest level and improving. Now, what would upset you the most if you're not improving? Mm-hmm. I think that's what, you know, that's what we're all about is improving every day and striving to be your best. And you're not seeing it? Well, then now we got a problem.
See, I'm proud of you because you didn't say, you know, hey, look, you know, the number of days that I get to fish, I mean, they're just I can't do it anymore. I mean, it's, you know, no problem. You love it. You love to coach.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But okay, let's go back, you know, a couple weeks. I mean, for the last couple weeks, you like to fish. You've been fishing. You've been able to enjoy some free time because, you know, look, your free time disappears here pretty quick.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, we got a chance, right?
Yeah, Lux? We did. We got to fish together.
That was more of a business trip.
Yeah.
You know, I was I mean, that you asked for my help on the water. And,
is that right? Here we go.
No. Humility, right? Like, wait a minute. Yeah. Let's get that in the right order. No, you know what? I think it is. It's a chance to, you know, we spend so much time here and doing the show. But to have that time out in the boat and enjoy each other's company. And it really does. This thing, even our team now, it comes back to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. And to take time to do that and to connect with the family again. You know, to be with your kids and your wife and to have that time. Because you know that, you're right, it is challenged once the season starts.
Yeah, and you've got two boys that really share your love of fishing. So, I mean, we took them that day, and it was fantastic. And Carter is a way better fisherman than you are.
Well, there's a lot of people better than I am in that.
Oh, that's good. But and also, I saw a tweet that you spoke at every year – Annually, they have this thing called ICAST, which is in Orlando at the big convention center where all of the fishing industry people gather to show all their new products and wares or technologies or whatever. And you were down there to speak to a group at the ICAST. That's pretty cool. How was that?
It was. What a great opportunity. And I was asked to go down there and visit and learn more about it. And I think there was 13,000 people. And I think at the luncheon or the breakfast they had me speak at, there was 900 people. And all the new fishing equipment and, the expo, the new boats and rods and reels. And, I mean, you talk about being a lot of stimulus, going through that building.
It is. It's like sensory overload.
Yeah. So,
Did you find something new you got to have?
I got a chance to meet a lot of people and a lot of people from the state of Florida, that are passionate about fishing. So, anytime you're around those type of people that passionate what they do and what they believe in, it was a great experience.
No, I was hoping that you might give us like an update on the latest technology of fishing. Maybe you could help me out a little bit.
No. I gotta keep that to myself now, Logs. The next time we go fishing,
competitiveness. It was a good thing that you were fishing in my boat that day. We were on the same team that day.
Yeah.
Which we did win, by the way. I have to tell people this, and it was you and your brother Scott and your two boys, and we split up with a friend of mine, Tom Lucas, and we had like a little two-boat tournament. And, if I'm breathing, it's gonna be competitive, especially with Tom. And I must say that we won the day. We won the day. We won. We didn't just win. We dominated your brother and Carter.
Isn't it great that you and I are in there and they have no chance for recourse on this? it was a great day.
That was a good day. Some news that happened kind of while everybody was away, and a lot of people kind of take a break from football at this time because it's the dead zone. Now things are starting to ramp up. Roster changes happened. It's not very frequent that it happens during what is called the NFL dead zone, which is the end of the mini camp to the start of training camp. But you guys had a transaction. A. Sanders, who was, I believe, a former fourth-round pick out of South Carolina, wide receiver and a return man, was released from your roster. Tell us what you're and Dave, and I don't want you to speak for Dave Caldwell, but what your guys' thinking was with that.
Well, Ace did some good things for us in the past, and I think, as we came down to it, I think it was, for us, we just felt like it was the right time to move on. With Ace, he has done some good things. I think we look at it and we say, all right, what can we do to help him with some of his options, going into this year? And it's difficult. I think I said before, sometimes it's hard. You got to make decisions what you think are best for the team. And, that's what we felt like we had to do.
With that decision with him, though, it's never just based on him. You look at the wide receivers that you have. I mean, Allen Robinson has looked like he has completely returned from injury with the foot. Marquise Lee, you'll know more on when he returns from injury. Will he report on Monday with the injured guys?
Yeah, we'll get a chance to see him.
Get a chance to see him. Allen Hurns, who was a great find as an undrafted rookie last year. You've got another rookie from Florida State and Green this year who has impressed. That also has to speak to how comfortable you are with the other players in that position group to have that transaction happen.
Yeah, well, there'll be great competition there. And, we've got some guys that are coming in, Tannen Doss, Brian Walters. These guys that have played the slot position and have returned, in the past for other teams and done really well. So the competition will be strong, and we get a chance to get guys more reps and kind of see how their development has come to.
Tell me about Tannen Doss. Because Tannen Doss last year, you guys signed him as a free agent. The year before that, he led the league in punt returns. And then last year, he got hurt and was never really able to grasp that role as the return man. And now he's back. He appears to be healthy. Could he be the guy to handle returns?
Yeah, he's extremely competitive. Now with Tannen, he's big and strong. And, when you go through OTAs and minicamp, you're really intrigued by him. But I think where he really shows up is when the pads come on. He's that type of a player. And I think if you remember, going through training camp, he was doing really well. And then in that scrimmage, he got hurt. And, the whole team, it was quiet on the field. And I think that was a sense of how well he was doing for us. And so I think we're excited to see him. I think, you know, the staff, once he gets his pads on, you'll see the real Tannen Doss, what he's all about. The strength as a returner. He led the league in returns, a different style of returner, a bigger, stronger type returner. So, you know, I think the good thing is we've got different styles of players. You know, same thing at the running back position. There's different styles of types of players that we have in there. And, you know, now we just got to pick the best one, you know, and who competes the best.
The other factor that has to come into play when you're looking at a wide receiver who would be, you know, number four or number five on the roster game day is his ability to contribute on special teams past being just a return guy. And there you were talking about Tannen Doss, the size that he has. He obviously can fill a lot of roles besides as a returner.
Right. You know, the number you have, is it five? Is it six? You know, that would be discussions for Dave and I. But, you know, if you can have three receivers that you're looking at and saying, all right, we really trust them on the field for the offense, you know, a lot of teams will have that philosophy. The next two receivers have to be four core type special team players. And you got to be able to count on them to play all the special teams. And then they also have to have the versatility to play multiple positions as a wide receiver. It's just you're limited by numbers, and you have to have that commitment to the special teams unit.
All right, when we come back, you and I are about the same age. Did you have the video game as a kid that was Pong?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then you had, I think it was like Mission Control, Asteroids, all that era, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong. Do you have all those things?
Yeah, I was outside a lot, Logs. Now I was, you know, I wasn't in the house maybe like you.
Neither was I. I was outside a lot. But you know, when you think about the technology of where it was then and where it is now and how some of these NFL teams are applying technology to the football field and this virtual reality, I want to get your thoughts on some of that, because the Patriots have been the fourth team now in the National Football League to have this company come in, and get your thoughts on that.
Okay, great.
Right after this on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
This segment is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Loggeman and the head coach, Gus Bradley. Gus, I read throughout the offseason and had been kind of following this, and that I think there's multiple companies that are doing this, but it's somewhat of a virtual reality for teams to purchase this technology, and it's not just solely for quarterbacks, but it's also other positions, I suppose, but quarterbacks can put this little headset on, and it would be virtual reality repetitions of what it's like to be on the field without actually being on the field. And my first thought of this, because my brother is a pilot for FedEx, and he flies in a simulator all the time, and they have to train in simulators. Well, if pilots do it on a regular basis to be able to improve, you know, their ability to fly a plane, why not as for an NFL player, if they can create a realistic look for a quarterback to put this on his head? Have you guys investigated
that? Yeah, we have. We've had people in, and we've looked at it, and there is a lot to it, and it's very, very intriguing. And both Greg Olson and Nathaniel Hackett, it's been great because we've sat in multiple meetings, and, you know, I don't know where we are as far as publicly coming out, but something that we studied, it is intriguing in that, you know, you install your whole offense. And then you install your whole defense
into the virtual reality.
And so now, you know, now if you're playing another team, now you try to install their defense. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. And, you know, I think there's some coaches that the idea of putting it on, especially, you know, riding from a bus, you're at an away game, the hotel is 30 minutes away from the stadium, and everybody's got them on riding to the stadium. One last shot of visualizing. There's a lot of merit to it. And also, like you said, but now there's, you know, there's teams that are just having the drop-down screen where you don't have to have anything on. You're walking into a building, and it's a 3D screen.
3D screen where you're just standing almost like, I guess you go to the –
probably similar to what you're seeing with a pilot, you know, where they're going into that. So, I mean, it's rapidly coming fast. And I think the changes that are going to take place in the next, you know, year or 2 years, you're going to see a lot of different things come up. It's so competitive, and everybody wants to be 3-4 years ahead of the competition. So you're going to see a lot of people jump to these things.
I was looking. It's the virtual reality the Patriots signed on. It's a company that's, and I'm assuming it's an acronym. It's STRIVR Labs. The Patriots are the latest team to be able to buy this technology or use this technology. The Cowboys, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the 49ers are the other teams. Have you guys researched? I was just curious about this. What does something like that cost?
Well, I don't know what I can get into, you know, as far as the costs. And I do know that, you know, it's in its beginning stages for a lot of these companies. So to have the ability for a team to look at it and use it, there's some advantages to them. Let's say it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's some companies competing for the services of NFL teams.
That's interesting because if the NFL uses it, then there's a whole lot of other customers that are potentially out there, not only in the NFL level, but also at the collegiate level. And heaven forbid they use this in high school.
Right. Well, you know, colleges are using it, and it is. You know, it's getting to be whatever you can do to take care of your players. Safety is always a concern. And so this way, you know, what is it, the 10,000 reps, you get 10,000 reps, you have a chance to perfect it. So people are, you know, all teams are competing to try to find a way to get those reps in without putting the wear and tear on the players.
The quarterback position is obviously the first position that you think of when you think of this virtual reality thing. If you had to pick one other position that could benefit from something like this, what do you think it would be?
Well, you know,
I mean, certainly not nose tackle.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah, no, let's flip sides. You know, I mean, there's some merit for the offensive line, and you know, but I think like a linebacker, you know, and be able to check out his run fits, you know, certain run plays you run at him, and he gets a chance to get a feel for it. And, you know, so I would say linebackers, you know, would be the other position that, you know, they would really be intrigued by it.
Yeah, my first thing that came to my mind was safety. That somebody that's trying to see a lot of space and get a feel for everything.
Yeah, if it's, you know, a safety that drops down mm-hmm. into the box, I would agree with you. You know, but, you know, just because now it's run and pass. And, you know, he can get his fits up in the run game, and he can also, you know, he can get a chance to evaluate his pass drops. I think the big thing with this is that, do you have the way to evaluate, and do you get immediate feedback? You know, the quarterback mm-hmm. is looking through the goggles, and he sees things. Can the coach be with him and look at a screen and see
and
the
see
same
how
thing?
See how he's reacting.
And see how he's reacting, rather than he just puts it on, and, you know, a coach always wants that feedback. So these companies, they've got to be in tune to offer that with the visual reality.
Could there be an application for a head coach? Game situations,
sure.
You know, game managing calls.
Yeah, all those things. You know, anything that gets practiced, you know, throwing different game management situations, how would you respond? You know, all those things. It's great for growth.
Crazy to think of technology and where it's become.
Well, I just think in a couple of years, you're going to really see the game change, you know, as far as how teams adjust, how teams are looking for that edge to stay ahead of the competition and to take care of the players.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, I want to get the coach's thoughts on the Tom Brady appeal. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. You'll also see a ton of J.P. Shadrick on Jaguars.com. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Loggeman and the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, the news that's really flying around the National Football League right now is everybody kind of awaiting what will happen on Tom Brady's appeal of his suspension. You guys obviously play them in week 3, and the suspension right now is at 4 weeks. Do you follow that? Do you have an opinion about that? And let me first start with, do you follow it?
You know, you're aware of it. I'm not gonna lie, you're aware of the situation, but I don't know all the details of it. I think I'm aware of it. So if something went, you know, a situation comes up with our player and you're in a coach and, you know, how the whole thing is going to play out, how the situation, you're aware of it that way, but the details and, you know, how they're going back and forth. No, not to the extent that maybe a lot of people have.
It's amazing how many opinions that you find on the suspension, whether it should stay, whether it should be thrown out, whether it should be reduced. I don't want to put you in a bad position. If you were commissioner, what would you do?
Well, you know, at first you try to gather all the information as much as possible and, you know, and try to get take it all in. And you know, you're trying to protect the integrity of the league. You're trying to do what's right for the player. And it's a difficult
easy,
job now. And, you know, I'm sure it's like, come on, Gus, we need a decision or we need to, you know, have an opinion about this. But it's hard. I mean, there's some things I have very strong opinions about and very strong convictions. This without knowing all the information, I'll say it will be interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you this. I don't get caught up in it and say, oh, you know, it's game. Okay, game three is her game. What is it, game three we play him, and he's four games, and if it goes bad, you know what? I just know that, you know, you play versus the best, and sometimes you play versus teams, and you get a chance to play versus their best, and you have a victory, and it does a lot for your organization. So I never get too caught up in who's available and who's not available.
He's a great player.
He's a great player.
And I mean, I go back, you know, to personal experience in that – played in the same division with Bill Polian's Buffalo Bills, who, by the way, Bill Polian, congratulations, he's being inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame this summer here in a couple weeks. And I remember when we played the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Cornelius Bennett, Bruce Smith, Steve Tasker, I mean, all these great players. I just remember, you know, certain guys on their team would get injured, and your attitude, at least my attitude, was, I want them all. I want them all on the field that day. I don't want anybody to not be there. I don't want them to have an excuse for when we beat them.
That's you know, I know that's tough sometimes for fans, but, you know, I go back and I look at experiences, you know, in the past, and I think one comes to play is when I was coaching with Seattle and New England came up, and that was a time when Seattle was trying to build and become a better team. And we beat New England when I was there at home. And after that point, the team just kind of had a different feeling. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. You never know when those teams, you know, those – now, if Tom Brady or the team wasn't playing, I don't know if it would have been that same feeling, mm-hmm. you know. So I think to play against the best, just like what you were talking about, and then put together a great game and come up with a victory, it does something for you. And we're not going to shy away from that.
Absolutely not. All right, when we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show, I want to pick your brain about some position battles that fans might want to look for here coming up at the opening of training camp. And we'll do that here on the Gus Bradley Show right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And it's not just any Gus Bradley Show. It's the first Gus Bradley Show of the 2015 Jaguars season. And training camp starts next Thursday when veterans report, quarterbacks and rookies report next Monday. And Gus, when training camp starts, pads go on, it's a different look. You know, the underwear off season ends and pads go on, and sometimes you have separation, which is fun to watch, and it's fun to see how certain guys looked really good without pads on, and then certain guys rise, like you were talking about. Tandon Doss may be a guy, when he gets the pads on, will rise. And throughout this, the evaluation process continues on a daily basis, I'm sure, between you and Dave Caldwell and your coaching staff and then all the people in the personnel department. Training camp battles to watch for this year. Where do you expect the most competition? I mean, obviously, as a head coach, you want competition everywhere. It makes
sure.
your team better overall. But where do you expect to where starters will be determined in training camp at these positions?
Well, I think you're right. Let's first say this, that I think we have more competition at all the position groups than we've had here in the last couple of years. So as a coach, it always makes it better when you have that. But that offensive line, I think, is, you know, a good place to start off. I think that with some additions, you know, with some key players coming in, and some of our younger guys now, you know, in their second year or third year, I think that you're seeing them kind of gel together. I think for some of them, or a lot of them, that were here last year, you know, getting stung a little bit. They've come back. We try not to be motivated by a chip on the shoulder, but there's a little chip on the shoulder now. And they're coming back with a different mentality. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. I think
So in that position group, the one that stand out to me, center. I mean, right. You signed Stefan Wisniewski from the Raiders as a free agent on a one-year deal. And then you have a third-round draft pick, which, I mean, third-round draft picks are expected to compete for starting roles right away, A.J. Cann and Zane Beatles. Are those the two really that – and could I go so far as to say Josh Wells and Luke, you know, Jokel at left tackle?
Well, yeah, I think what you can count on is that the players that are playing the best are going to play. And it doesn't matter if you're a first-round draft pick, a free agent, you know, someone that we picked up in free agency. You know, those things don't matter. So I think that you're going to see a lot of guys come in, and a lot of guys have picked it up. You could see it in OTAs. And I think that what you're trying to get accomplished in OTAs and minicamp is that knowledge base, that mentality to where they feel comfortable in their assignments so they can play aggressively. And now you got a chance to evaluate that on tape. But you're right. There's some competition, center, guard. But really across the board at every position, we're going to have competition in that offensive line.
What other position groups?
Well, I think the DBs really stands out to me too. You know, the corner spot. We're going to have some tough decisions to make. At the corner spot, some guys I think are really – what I like about it is you are seeing, you know, for what, the last couple of years we talk about guys being internally motivated and, you know, it's not coming from the coach or any – well, there's some guys that are internally motivated on that group. And now it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. They are truly concerned about them being their best. A guy like Gratz and Demetrius McCray and Devon House and
Aaron Colvin.
Yeah. Aaron Colvin. I mean, there's so many guys internally motivated there. I'm really excited to see how that plays out. And, you know, running back. I mean, another one. You know, you talk about the position with different styles. Look at our running back spot. You know, you got some guys that are over 230 pounds and, you know, guys that are a little bit lighter and have the speed and quickness. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well.
Running back's a little different, though, isn't it? Because running back, you have – guys that rotate, I mean, that have different roles within the scheme to fill, you know, each particular role in that scheme.
Right. And I think, you know, rarely do you see that running back that carries it over 20 carries a game. You know, it's going to be more by committee. But that's all right. Our guys know that if someone shows up and can do it over 20 times, mm-hmm. then we'll feed them the ball that many times.
What position group may not come to most people's mind to where there might be some competition?
Why?
Because, I mean, offensive line, you sign a free agent and you have two free agents at that position group, it's obvious. Cornerback, you sign a corner, you get a safety in Sergio Brown. Okay, that's going to create competition.
Well, I would say the wide receiver spot. And you say, really? Well, because, you know, most people go, well, Marquise is going to be here and Allen Robinson is going to be here and Allen Hurns is going to be here and Rashad's going to be. Okay, well, there's four right there. So what's the competition for one spot? Not so fast. You know, the competition, who's playing and who's starting and who's going to get the majority of the reps. I think, you know, there's a lot of questions that need to be solved there. Allen Robinson looked great in OTAs and minicamp, you know, for the number of practices he had. But the pads come on, and let's see, you know, because that's where it all shows up. So I think we've got great anticipation, but it still has to play out.
All right, we come back. We'll take a few phone calls right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And we'll open the phone lines up more as we've kind of progressed through the season. Just the first time with you, I like to be long-winded. And so do you. So, it's, you know, we didn't have time for many calls, but we got time for one. Let's go talk to Chris on the west side right here on the Gus Bradley Show. Good evening, Chris.
Hey, guys. Gus, I missed your show. It's good to hear from you again.
Well, thank you, Chris. I look forward to hearing your question.
Yeah, I am constantly curious about how you do your job and how you establish a winning culture. For example, I think there's a tendency to not want to stick out too much with a risky strategy or decision. How do you discourage your coaching staff from that sort of cover your butt philosophy, and how do you discourage yourself from doing that on a daily basis?
Well, I think that in hiring a coaching staff, you're looking for a coaching staff that can be openly challenged. And, you know, and we challenge each other every day. And I think, you know, sometimes there's fans and media will challenge you. And in our eyes, that's okay. I think everybody needs to be challenged if you're looking for the opportunity for great growth. And so it's more of a welcome it. But I think the people that have issues with it feel more threatened and feel more attacked. And therefore, really, you know, aren't looking at it as more of a learning opportunity, but more about who's right, not what's right. And but it's hard, believe me, it's hard. I think it's you know, to be challenged all the time, and you know, I think it's not easy. But life isn't about being easy; it's you know, about getting it right. So that's an interesting question.
And I think another kind of sidebar to that would be, which coach has challenged you the most since you have become head coach of the Jaguars? And I'm talking about a coach on your staff right now that challenges you the most, that helps you.
Right. You know what? Dwayne Walker does a great job of it. It's hard. You know, sometimes coaches feel like, you know, that's, I think my wife says it all the time, who challenges you when you're the head coach? You know, you need that. Mm-hmm. And our staff does a great job of it, but Dwayne Walker, I mean, it's you know, whether it's through a text or a phone call, has no issues with it. And but really, all of our staff does. You know, look at, we hired guys like Doug Marone and Greg Olson. Doug Marone, a former head coach, you know, but it's great because he'll have new ideas and he'll challenge things. And, you know, I think we're all looking for that because we're all after the same thing. We're trying to put
get
this
better
organization, yeah, and we're trying to get this to where, you know, consistently this organization is playing at a high level.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll kind of wrap it up with some thoughts on expectations for 2015 here with the head coach, Gus Bradley, right here on the Jaguars on Jaguars Radio. Oh, the stories we could tell on the air that happened during the commercial break. Nah, there wasn't anything crazy. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. The first one of the year, and looking forward to many more. Looking forward to the start of the Jaguars training camp, Veterans Report next Thursday, and then it all starts. Well, it's already started, but it starts for a lot of people in their mind coming up this week. And, Gus, the expectations for 2015, you know, every year when you take the next step in the program, the building of a program, the expectations get elevated from outside. What are the expectations from the inside from you for your football team in 2015?
Well, I will say this first of all. Our team has great expectations, and that's what you like about them. I mean, I think, you know, guys, that the receiving group, the offensive line group, they all have the expectation that let's take this thing to another level. And our philosophy won't change as far as we're looking for improvement, but I think our mentality has changed. You know, we feel like we have to create a standard. And that standard now is, you know, with the players that we have, the excitement that we have, you know, I think it's a team of momentum. And when you have young guys that get momentum on their side, you have a chance to accomplish great things. So we got to give our team that opportunity. We're really excited about this team. I think the camaraderie, the work ethic, the buy-in, and, you know, we'll see what takes place. I think that that's what they're all about, and that's what we're going to make sure their mentality is all about.
Part of having the elevated expectation is leadership. And I'm beyond coaching staff, and it comes from the players in that locker room. Who do you see rising to that challenge this year for your team in 2015?
Well, I think, you know, when you have guys that have been involved in the style of our coaching staff for a couple of years now they have a great sense of the message and what we're all about. You're going to see them step up their leadership even more. And we've challenged them. We talked about the guys like Puz. He's challenging guys on the field more. Mercedes Lewis challenging guys. And you're seeing it from a guy like Blake Borders as well. So exciting time, man. I know, you know, we'll talk more about it in the upcoming weeks, but it's a great time of the year.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
So am I.
And I'll make sure that JP, who is all over Jaguars.com, gets a great picture of your face as you're walking out on the field for that very first practice.
That's right. I'm sure you will. You won't have to tell him.
Thank you, Gus. We'll talk to everybody next week, same time, same place, right here on the Gus Bradley Show.